VBS is an invaluable time to reach the kids in your community with God's truth. But it's important for you to be prepared. Lifeway VBS previews are the best way to develop your volunteer team, to gain valuable training, and to build momentum and excitement for your VBS. Get ready for your best VBS yet with VBS previews. Find a location near you at vbs.lifeway.com/preview. Listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chuck Peters, and it's so good to have you here again. It's been a while, but it's good to have you. So thanks for joining us. We're going to be talking today with a friend and colleague of mine, Kayla Stevens from the Lifeway Kids Discipleship Team. Hey, Kayla, how are you?
Hey, Chuck, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. You live in like a super cool part of East Nashville. And so like East Nashville is kind of like it's like super hip artsy part of town. So I'm not that I'm surprised that you live there at all, because you totally fit. But what drew you to live in like the artsy part of town rather than like the suburbs or something?
That's really funny you asked that question. When I moved into East Nashville, I did not feel like I fit. I thought, I am very different from all the people around me. But I love living in this community because it almost feels like I have moved back to 1990s. Like, there's such a community vibe. There are people who are walking all around on sidewalks all the time. There's kids playing with tetherball. Like, it's just such a fun, eclectic neighborhood where I feel like people genuinely really want to get to know their neighbors, to hang out with people. So it's just a really fun place to live.
It's a super cool part of town where they have it's the kind of place where they have little local eateries with tables on the street and umbrellas. There's a turnip truck or a health food store, natural food store that's there. When I first moved to Nashville, way back in 2008, I didn't have a place to live, and I had a friend who had a friend who had an empty, totally vacant flat in East Nashville. And so he's like, well, you can crash there if you want to for a couple of weeks. I was like, oh, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. And I get there and one entire wall is just totally glass and windows. No curtain, just wide open glass and windows, ground floor. And there was a mattress and an office chair. And so my whole experience in East Nashville was walking around and seeing those cool places and living in this place where I felt very much like being in a fishbowl.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So are you in a house or an apartment, or what's your setting like?
Yeah, I live in a house. It's so cute. It was built in the 1960s or so, and it's been renovated.
Like a craftsman style place?
Yes, craftsman style. It's the best. So it's a lot of fun.
It's part of town where all those old houses have been fixed up, and that's just such a cool thing. Yeah. Well, wonderful. So thank you for sharing a bit about you. What's inspired this conversation is we are currently right now in late September getting ready for our Etch Family Ministry Conference. It's going to be happening in Nashville. And Kayla is leading a breakout session. More than one? A couple? Okay, but this thing is so rich. As we have been preparing for this event, and this conference will be included on the digital experience that you can get. So you want to make sure that you follow the links to etchconference.com. And you can find a much longer, much deeper conversation with Kayla in her breakout session on this topic. As Trey, producer Trey, was editing this material, he contacted me and he's like, we have to have Kayla on the podcast. And so, Kayla, we are so excited to hear from you today. We are talking about some things that you have identified that are really timely and that are very really important for us to be aware of and to be responsive to in the church as we minister to kids. And so we're going to do a couple episodes together. This is the first of two. And so listeners, if you're hearing this one, come back again in a few more weeks and look for another episode with Kayla where we will go deeper. But we want to talk today about this, the notion of expressive individualism. That sounds really intellectual and fancy wording, but listeners, you've heard slogans and phrases and catchphrases like, hey, you be you, or be true to yourself, follow your heart, find yourself, right? Those are the kind of things that are phrases that stem or that come out of this notion of expressive individualism. And it's something that is becoming a part of our cultural orientation, that it's really about you or about me. And that's not necessarily aligned with what we see from the Lord revealed in Scripture. And so we need to have a conversation about this. So Kayla, help us define, what is this expressive individualism? Where do we start? What is this exactly?
Yeah, that's a great question. I first heard this word through some conferences and books and articles, and it's kind of a buzzword in certain cultures and certain tribes. But essentially, expressive individualism is honestly, it's the culture in which we live in, whereas almost like a fish who's swimming in water that doesn't necessarily know if it's wet or not.
Yeah.
This is the culture we're swimming in. And it's important for us to know what these waters are and then how we are able to then infiltrate and talk about it in such a way, not only as leaders, but also with our kids and with our families. So expressive individualism has three big parts. Number one, it starts with saying you get to define who you are. Mm. So the definition of your identity comes from you. And the way that you define yourself comes by looking within yourself and determining what are your deepest desires. Mm. And once you determine what your deepest desires are, then it is your responsibility to display who you are to the world and then gather around people around you who are going to celebrate your definition of your identity and will help you as you pursue and live that out.
Mm. Yeah, that whole notion of where does our identity come from is a huge issue for kids right now, right? Because they're in a world who wants to tell them who it wants them to be. And that's really contrary to what we know about our identity in Christ. So what do we do? How do we respond to this just knowing this to be true, Kayla? It permeates our culture, right? It's in kids' movies and everywhere.
Yeah, it is everywhere. And I think it's important too that, you know, one of the myths that I think that we fall prey to sometimes is believing my kids are okay because they go to church, they go to midweek, they're part of this Christian school or, you know, fill in the blank. But the reality is that if our kids are even remotely engaged with contemporary culture,
yeah,
and they are, they are being inundated with messaging from our culture, about how they are supposed to interpret themselves. And we see this, everywhere. We see it with the sexual revolution of our culture. We see it, with girls specifically with, self-esteem and how they are called to define who they are and their desires and then express that out. So we see it everywhere. And I would say it's important for us as leaders, to be reminded that our culture is often teaching kids to pay homage to this cultural catechism. Yeah. That's really appealing. It's really attractive. And we need to pay attention to that and be able to speak into it from a biblical perspective of how we can navigate these waters. So I would say one thing, let's start with the church. What can we as church leaders do? Number one, we can create a culture where kids feel safe to really question and doubt and to grapple with their faith. So we live in an age in which kids aren't necessarily coming to us anymore for the answers. They have Google, they have Alexa. So they can go find the answers, but they're coming to us to help them interpret the answers. And so we want to create an environment for our kids where they are able to ask questions. One of the ways that I do this with my 4 and 5 year olds that I teach at my church is we have a question box and we have little note cards. And again, these kids can't write. They can't read. They're very young, but we're starting from a very early age of writing. I will write down the questions, but we talk about them and we ask a lot of questions about God.
Yeah.
And so we're encouraging kids to be more inquisitive about who God is and what are the questions we have for him and how can we find those answers in the Bible? We get a lot of questions about why did God make mosquitoes at the moment, but it's just a fun way to help kids engage in their learning and to own their learning experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a leader telling them, here's the truth, here's the truth, here's the truth, believe it.
Right.
But it's helping engage kids to be more inquisitive with their learning and to own their learning so that they're really grappling with what they're learning and why it's important. I remember in seminary one time, many, many years ago, of sitting in this classroom and we were talking about a question that the professor asked and everyone in the classroom was kind of hesitant. We didn't really know the answer and no one's really saying anything. And it's just this awkward silence, right? And I'll never forget the professor saying, guys, this is where we get it wrong. Hmm. Not necessarily that when you come in this room, you have all the right answers. But when you come in this room, we are able to together to look at scripture and to talk about what the Bible says is true, right? And how do we engage the answers that we're getting and the messaging that we're getting from outside of scripture in a way that is biblically appropriate? How are we engaging with those messages? And then also coupling that with what scripture tells us and grappling with it. So we need to help kids grapple with their faith. We want to be leaders who aren't always just giving them the answers, right? But we want to help them wrestle with questions and know that this is a safe place to wrestle with questions so that we can help kids really define and understand who God says, what God says is true and who God says is true about them, so that they can begin to discern what is happening within their culture and understand the messagings that they're receiving.
Yeah, we need to give them a lens that they can view culture through. And I think oftentimes what happens is the world gets that, we get that backwards, right? Where we view Christianity and the things of faith through the lens of the culture, rather than viewing the culture through the lens of God's word. And so for us, there's definitely a challenge there in helping kids orient their perspective. It's really a question of which side of the lens do we stand on, right? If we're on the one side, we start with a starting point that God's word is true and that he is the center, his son is the center, and then we interpret everything else based on that perspective. And it changes how we see the things of the world. That's where a lot of us are as leaders. But we need to realize that a lot of our kids are on the other side of the lens because their primary orientation is the things that they hear out in the world, out in the culture. And it's, I think so many times, Kayla, it's so subtle, that message. They're not shouting this big message. It's all about you. Sometimes they are, but a lot of times it's just really subtle, little drip, 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 that keeps kids on the self-centered side of that lens, and that affects how they come to faith and how they interpret God's word. You know, it's like we can either interpret our feelings based on the truth of God's word, or we can interpret God's word based on how we feel. And we live in a culture that wants its perspective to be the one that our kids take. That's really tough, right? Because that's not just speaking truth and teaching truth. We really have to be aware that a lot of the kids are receiving the things that we say in a context that's already been established. And so we have to figure out how do we reconcile that? You know, how do we speak to kids in a way? And I love the notion, I want to set you up to talk about this, of we need to let our kids know that we don't belong in this world. We're not made for this world. We are strangers and aliens, the word says. Our citizenship is in heaven, and therefore we need to stand out rather than fit in or blend in. And I think a lot of kids really want to blend in and not be seen. And honestly, as believers, we need to let our light shine, right? And not hide it under the bushel. What are your thoughts on that whole idea of standing out versus fitting in?
Yeah, that's a great thought. I think that, you know, like you said, scripture is clear, right? That we are to be lights to the world. We are to be salt. We are to be flavorful and seasoned so that what we say and what we do images or reflects the God that we believe in and who he is, right? So as you were talking about that, it just made me think about how we are called to something that my pastor said this week was how do people know, right? How do they know that you are a follower of Jesus? And how we show other people around us by our love for them. And we show our love for God by our obedience to him. And so coupling those together, what does it look like for us to love people around us while also disagreeing sometimes with the messaging that we are receiving? It's interesting, you know, tolerance has been a big buzzword in years past. But I think our culture has changed the messaging of what tolerance is, because a lot of times we think of tolerance, we think, oh, we just have to be okay with everything and we just have to be agreeable. But actually, with the definition of tolerance, you can't have tolerance unless you have disagreement. You have to have disagreement there in order for there to be tolerance. And so we have to be able to help our kids see and understand what it looks like to love and care for people while disagreeing with some of the messaging, and helping kids see that it's not like we're standing on one side of the lawn and culture is standing on the other side of the lawn and we're just shouting back and forth at each other, right? Mm-hmm. We're called to love and respect and honor people. And so we are all broken people standing on the same side.
Yes.
But we as believers have to understand that we are in submission to a higher authority than ourselves. Mm. We are not defining who we are. God has already defined who we are. He has already told us who we are. And we are called to display not our deepest desires, because scripture tells us that our deepest desires are sinful.
Are sinful, right.
And they're ugly and they're messy and they're broken. But we're too called to display who God is and who Christ is in the church. And so as we stand as lights, we have to know scripture. We have to know the God we follow. We have to know the faith that we are clinging to. And then we also have to be able to express it, right? As 1 Peter 3:15 says, we have to give an answer for the faith that is within us. We have to give an answer for that hope. And it's not that we come about that in an argumentative way or in a destructive way, but we're able to share with other people the faith that we have because of who God is and how he has transformed our lives, and to live in such a way that we are sharing that message with the world in a kind and honest and authentic way that displays Jesus and not ourselves.
And that takes confidence that our kids need to have. And we can be givers of confidence, right? To know the truth. That's, I think, one of the biggest problems in the culture that stems from this idea of expressive individualism is that the idea of that truth is relative, right? There's no absolute truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Those people that I totally disagree with are entitled to their own truth. And that is not, that's how the world relates to each other and wants us to relate to them, right? There's no overriding big real truth. It's all individualized. And that's dangerous as well.
Yeah, and we have to be able to point out those dangers to our kids. So we have to help them understand, okay, play that out. If this is your truth and this is my truth, but they're complete opposites, how can they both be true?
Yes.
What does that look like? And so being able to tease out some of the fallacies within the arguments of our culture helps kids break down and understand, oh, this isn't just all feel good and I can do what I want and not have any consequences for it.
Yeah. Well, you talk, Kayla, at advanced stages, you say in your session that expressive individualism becomes a very isolating and lonely place to live. Tell us a little bit about that result. How does one lead to the other?
Yeah, that's really great. So expressive individualism, like we said, it starts with definition, right? And if I get to define who I am, that sounds really good. That mm-hmm. sounds like, ooh, I can make my own definition. I can create my own story, right?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is if I am the creator of my definition and I find that definition by looking within myself, then this whole thing depends on me. And so what happens when I'm not happy? What happens when I have pursued my desires to the fullest extent and I realize that at the end of that road is not the joy and not the satisfaction that I was longing for? And so as you delve deeper into that, you learn to understand that really, expressive individualism is a very lonely place to be. It's a very isolating place to be because I define who I am. And when I get it wrong, mm-hmm. or if my desires change, let's say that I have a desire to be an NBA basketball player and I pursue that with my whole heart. And then 10 years down the road, I have a desire to be an Emmy award winning videographer. Like, what happens when those two things don't coincide, right? So when we put all of that pressure on ourselves to define who we are, we end up in a very lonely and isolating and depressing place to be.
And that's where we can come in and speak in as leaders over kids. And we need to know that statistics and studies all show that kids today are more isolated and more lonely and more anxious than they've ever been any other time in history that we've ever recorded. And so kids are lonely and kids are feeling the emptiness that comes from this worldview that has been pressed upon them. And so then we have the opportunity to enter in and to connect with them and to speak to them the truth of God's word, the real capital T truth, but it starts with us having an awareness of where they are. Because if we're not aware of which side of that lens they're standing on, we may be saying things to them that don't connect with them in a way that is really effective. So you have a tip, and we only have time for one of these. You've got multiple tips. And again, listeners, I want to encourage you to check out etchconference.com and make sure you look for the digital breakouts. Get those and look for this session by Kayla Stevens. You get all the details into it. But Kayla, let's talk about you. You share some ideas or some strategies for the church and how we can respond. And let's take just the first one on your list, which is, as you address this, let's do it not by condemnation, but by contrast. Give us a little bit of encouragement about how we might speak with eyes wide open to our kids, knowing that they are in this sort of a starting point.
Yeah. So our kids are living in a culture where shame is very prevalent, right? Mm-hmm. They're even more than this, the guilt and honor, I'm sorry, the guilt and innocence culture that we have previously seen. Right now, a lot of our kids are living in a culture of honor and shame. Mm. And so they really recognize and are deeply in tune with what it feels like to feel shame. And so when we come at this topic with condemnation, they're quickly going to feel shame and they're quickly going to to shut down, right? So instead, we need to come at this conversation with contrast. We need to do it in kindness, in grace, in love. But we need to be able to help kids understand the contrasts between what culture says and what they say and what scripture says. One of the easy conversations I have with my kids in my class is about what they did that week, what they ate for breakfast, or what show are they watching right now? And I ask them, why do you like that show? What's important about it? Tell me about the cool people in the show. What do you like about them? Right. And so oftentimes when we come from a place of inquiry and inquisitiveness, we're able to get kids to open up about things that they love and care about. But then we're able to offer some discernment and some contrast between what is happening in the world and the cultural lens that they are seeing versus what scripture says about that. And it can be subtle. It doesn't have to be, we're going to sit down for 30 minutes and hash this out, right?
And fix it once and for all. Yeah.
No, it's a continual ongoing conversation. But the way that we can approach that is by really offering some different contrasts, some different views. That's not what culture says. Because if that's the only messaging that they're hearing, mm-hmm. then that's the messaging that they're going to gravitate towards, right? So we need to be able to offer some contrasting messages of what scripture says from a biblical perspective. And how would Jesus deal with this? How what does the Bible teach us about who Jesus is and how he would grapple with this? So not coming from a place of condemnation and shame and shutting down, but being able to offer some contrasting views, to come at it from a place of inquiry and being really inquisitive to open kids up to feel like they're in a safe place to share and engage. Mm,
a good word. Kayla Stevens, thank you so much for being here today. It's so fun to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Chuck. It's been a blast.
And we will have you back again really soon. In fact, you and I are going to go record another episode immediately. Listeners, you're going to have to wait for the next one. So come back soon for more from Kayla with these really pertinent and timely observations that help us develop our ministry philosophy and our strategy and raising our awareness of what our kids are actually dealing with. The world says you be you, and the word says you be Jesus. And so may we point our kids to be the hands and feet of Christ and to be all about him and his kingdom and not about elevating self. That's a big job, and it's a long-term one, not an instantaneous one, but what a great goal for us to keep our proper perspective. Kayla, thanks again for being here. Listeners, thank you for listening. Go check out etchconference.com. Find Kayla's breakout and more there. And we look forward to having you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. This winter, bring families together to celebrate the reason for Christmas and dive deeper into the story of Jesus' birth with Lifeway Kids' free family Advent guide. Get yours today at lifeway.com/family-advent.